D-Mace, Vingit, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vingit, and David James here with you. Willie Donick not with us today. He's with the Predators, who won earlier today in Ottawa. They have the second half of a back-to-back tomorrow in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. We hope to have Willie on at some point tomorrow to get his thoughts on the news from earlier today that the Tennessee Titans have fired Brian Callahan. It's been reported. I'm not sure if it's been confirmed by the team yet, but it has been widely reported that Mike McCoy, the team's senior offensive assistant, a former head coach with the Chargers franchise, will take over as the interim coach for the remainder of the season. Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi will address reporters at 7:30 tonight. One texter said, don't these guys know there are football games on tonight? Exactly. It's called burying the news because people are going to be paying attention to the Monday night football games around the country and not what Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi have to say. It's called a news dump. So Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi will address reporters at 7:30. Robert on our text line says, bring back Vrabel. Well, Vrabel is coming back on Sunday, except he's coming back with the 4-2 New England Patriots. Drake May looks like a stud so far this season. It could be a bloodbath on Sunday. And I think the Titans, Derek, wanted to get out ahead of this because I don't think the Titans wanted the look of Mike Vrabel coming back to town and beating the crap out of Brian Callahan, and then Callahan getting fired. I mean, it doesn't look great that they went ahead and fired him before the Vrabel game, because now the talk is going to be, can you believe that the Titans fired Mike Vrabel for this guy, and he's already been fired? It's not a good look for the organization either way. In case you missed it, here is part of the statement from Chad Brinker. Note that Chad Brinker made the statement released by the team and not Amy Adams Strunk. But Chad Brinker said this, quote, after extended conversations with our owner and general manager, we met with Brian Callahan this morning to tell him we are making a change of head coach. These decisions are never easy, and they become more difficult when they involve people of great character. We are grateful for Brian's investment in the Titans and Tennessee community during his tenure as head coach. We thank him and his family for being exemplary ambassadors of the Tennessee Titans. While we are committed to a patient and strategic plan to build a sustainable winning football program, we have not demonstrated sufficient growth. Our players, fans, and community deserve a football team that achieves a standard we are not currently meeting, and we are committed to making the hard decisions necessary to reach and maintain that standard, end quote. The Titans, of course, went 4-19 under Brian Callahan, averaging 17.1 points per game.
Word to the wise for the next head coach. This is just some words to help you along. Rent, don't buy. Rent, don't buy.
I want to point out, Derek, this was something that we were going to do today before the news broke, and you had to throw out the rundown. The Tennessee Titans this season have averaged 3.9 yards per play. Mm-hmm. Let me repeat that. 3.9 yards per play. Do you know how bad you have to be to average 3.9 yards per play in the NFL? The last team to finish a season with a yards per play average under 4 were the expansion Houston Texans. That's how far back you have to go to find a team that finished a season averaging fewer than 4 yards per play. The Titans at the moment at 3.9. So Brian Callahan comes in. He's supposed to be this offensive mastermind. It did not work. Now, Brian Callahan was not dealt a great hand in terms of his roster, or more specifically, his quarterbacks. Brian Callahan went 2-10 with Will Levis, 1-4 with Mason Rudolph, and 1-5 with Cam Ward, which equals 4-19. So that's bad. As Teron Davenport mentioned, the Titans offense, 83 points through 6 games, the fewest through 6 games in franchise history since 1985. Teron said he was 9 years old. Derek, how old were you in 1985?
10.
I was
11. No, I was 11.
I was minus four. I wasn't born until 1989. That's how far back you have to go. So, look, it had to happen. It had to happen. And there were signs that this was going to happen. I mentioned this earlier. You could tell Brian Callahan, holding his news conferences, he was starting to sort of lose his grip on things. He was becoming more combative. Mm-hmm. The gray in his beard was showing, quite like yours, Derek Mason.
Yes.
The gray was showing. Being a head coach in the NFL ages people rapidly. And you could tell that Brian Callahan, just by looking at him, was not having a good time. And I've been there. Sometimes losing your job can be a blessing in disguise. I don't know what the future holds for Brian Callahan. I doubt that he will get another opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL, but could he end up being a quarterback's coach or a senior offensive analyst like Mike McCoy was before becoming interim head coach? Could he become an offensive coordinator at some point? Who knows? I have a feeling Brian Callahan will reemerge at some point in the NFL. He doesn't have to now because he's getting paid either way.
Yeah, I mean, NFL, they just recycle the coaches. That's all. Whether it's from a head coaching standpoint or if it's from a coordinator standpoint or, you know, just a position coach. A lot of these coaches are recycled and they're brought in, and some of them tend to do better jobs at other teams or in certain situations, and some, you know, don't. I'm sure Brian get a coaching job, you know, soon. Now, what will that coaching job be? I don't know, because he showed that he isn't ready for the head coaching job, and he's never called plays. And then when he did, he showed that he couldn't call plays either. So it's almost like he can't, when he go into an interview, he can't interview for a head coaching job nor for an offensive coordinator, because I've seen you do both, and I don't want you to do either or. So then you become a senior analyst, or you have to, you know, go and just, you know, take a job maybe in college, and, you know, after a few years resurface, and, you know, because again, I do believe he knows the game. I think he took on a situation that I don't think he was fully prepared for, and a lot of coaches aren't fully prepared, because this is the first time you've had an opportunity to be a head coach. I can tell you what it's like, but this is your first experience, so you're going to have your own things you go through. But even with that, I don't think he understood, and I've said this before, I don't think he understood how bad this roster really was and how much work he was going to have to climb out of, or how much, you know, mess he was going to climb through just to get this roster to be respectable. And he just couldn't, and it showed. So where did this team go from here? I'm hoping that, you know, listen, they take their time at finding the right coach that can get this locker room and this team back to a place of knowing how to win. You ain't got to win a championship right now. You ain't got to win a championship next year. You don't. I mean, at least I would love for you to. But show us you know how to win. Show us you know how to win, and show us you know how to put it together consecutively. Just show us that. That's all I want the new guy to come in. Show us that this is a disciplined team and know how to win. You ain't going to win every game, but you know how to win games.
Bob on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunt.com, says, seems like we keep hiring the hot candidate, Wiz and Hunt, Vrabel, and Callahan. Vrabel sort of worked out for a bit until his personality wore out his welcome. Can we please hire some boring coach who actually knows what he's doing and isn't tough to listen to? If not that, anyone but Gruden. And we'll dive into the potential head coach candidates who will succeed Brian Callahan in a full-time capacity. Mike McCoy named the interim head coach for the Tennessee Titans. Well, let's start broadly, Derek.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of names out there. Plenty of people have put together their lists of the coaching candidates for the Tennessee Titans. John Gruden, former NFL head coach, is on that list, as is Mike McCarthy, who is currently without a job. Would you rather the Titans, let's start as broadly as we can. Mm-hmm. Would you rather the Titans hire a defensive-minded defensive-minded head coach or an offensive-minded head coach?
Oh, man. I want the Titans to hire someone that has done it before. You don't have to have won a Super Bowl. You don't have to have won, you know, an AFC championship game or NFC championship game. Show me you know how to coach. Mike Mularkey was a good example. I don't think Mike as a head coach ever won a Super Bowl.
No, not even
championship.
Close.
Yeah. He didn't win a AFC championship or an NFC championship, but he knew how to coach. He knew how to coach individuals. He got a team to play better than what they were. They were a young team. They had some talent. And he got that team because that was a bad team when he took over that team.
Mularkey, by the way, his playoff appearance with the Titans is the only playoff appearance he ever had as a head coach.
Exactly. So, but he's a guy that's done it before.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. Somebody that knows how to be a coach. When those rough and those patches come, he knows how to stand up in front of the room and know how to just communicate. Don't be combative. Just communicate. I want that. I want somebody that doesn't to operate from the from a feelings base, an emotion. No, be the coach. Your emotion about the team and, you know, but when you're asking, you don't get emotional with a reporter. You just answer the reporter question. That's how Vrabel was at first, but then the stick kind of wore off. It was like, now he's getting a little bit too combative with everybody. So I don't like that. I just want somebody to be a coach. Don't try to be, you know, because Vrabel probably, he tried to just be too, it was just something there that just irritated people.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody disliked Mularkey. Nobody. Find me somebody that disliked Mularkey. Now, there may be some reporters, but I'm saying, like, find a fan. Like, you didn't dislike Mularkey. Like, as a person, like, he was a good coach.
And to the texter's point, Mike Mularkey is not the type of coach that gets you excited. Like, yeah,
he
we're hiring Sean McVay. You know, it doesn't get you excited. He is just a ball coach.
Yes.
So
give me somebody like him that understands both sides of the ball, that knows that I need to find me a hell of an offensive coordinator, a creative offensive coordinator that can work with my quarterback. And I need to find a defensive coordinator that understands his players. And if that's keeping Denard Wilson, then so be it. But understands his players and what I want done. And now let's go do it. Mike Tomlin, prime example. Just go out and go. Mike, he don't get back and forth with people. He just talk to them, reporters. Even when they're losing, you can't ruffle his feathers. He's just like, you know, I'm going to keep coaching. I know what my guys got. Get somebody like Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh, and you'll be good.
Quickly, let's go to Dustin in Hopkinsville, who's threatening me via text while I've kept him on hold. Dustin, thank you so much for waiting.
Sorry,
please,
Dustin.
Go ahead.
We're sorry.
You're good. On a day like today, we all love to chime in and hear ourselves talk. I'm going to listen to myself in just a minute.
Go for it.
What is her infatuation with Mike? I don't know, man. The next one I want is Mike McCarthy. You know, I heard the news today, and I've been screaming, Callahan's not the guy since last year. I mean, I could have been wrong about that, but I wasn't. You know, we're numb. Like, today was a good day, but it's like, damn, where do we go from here? Like, this is a terrible organization. It is not cute to own a dang football team, get your head out of your rear end, let Borgonzi make the calls. You made the right decision letting Brinker write out, hey, it's hard to fire good guys because he's the next one you need to fire. He has got to go. Get the poison out today. Hand the keys over to the Lamborghini. We don't need the Honda and Pollard and all that. We need a dang Lamborghini in here. Get Mike McCarthy, a proven Super Bowl. You don't have any more chances. Honey, I mean, sorry, don't mean honey. Ma'am. I about lost myself there. Ma'am, I'm calling the divorce lawyer. I don't even care about the assets anymore. All I want is the kids.
Thank you, Justin. Thank
hey,
you,
Justin got one. Real. Like, he like, honey, listen, it's over with between
Sweetie,
us.
Come on.
Just give me the keys. I don't want nothing from you. Just leave. I just want the car keys. I just give me my car keys.
Oh,
hey, man. See, Tice, that's how y'all got your fan base, like that. That is what has happened and how much you have eroded the fan base. When they got to resort to you, it's basically, this is a divorce scenario, and they call you honey. Honey, just give me my keys. Like, just give me my money back for my tickets and let me go. Like, I want a divorce. Titans, this is where you are itching closer and closer to.
It's true. The Titans do like Mikes. There was Mike Mularkey and Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. Now there's Mike McCoy. Maybe it is Mike McCarthy.
I want to be like Mike.
By the way, I just want to follow this up because I was talking about it in the previous segment. According to Football Reference, rookie quarterbacks through their first six games of their career in terms of most sacks taken. Mm-hmm. David Carr, 39. Mm-hmm. Jake Plummer, 30. Tommy DeVito, 28. Archie Manning, 28. Cam Ward, 25. So rookie quarterbacks, through their first six starts, mm-hmm. most sacks taken. Cam Ward, fifth most.
Wow.
So that's what I'm concerned about. I was mentioning, whenever I hear Cam Ward's sack numbers mentioned in the same breath as David Carr, I freak out. I do, because I don't want the same fate to fall on Cam Ward as we saw with David Carr. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will continue to take your reaction to the Tennessee Titans firing Brian Callahan early this afternoon. Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi will address reporters at 7:30. So cancel your dinner plans. Speaking of honeys, call up your wife or your husband and say, hey, honey, can't make it to dinner tonight. I'm sorry. Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi are talking. Got to hear what they have to say. Or maybe they'll let you watch the live stream while you're eating dinner. Who knows? And if that person does, they're a keeper. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan. We are presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens and bathrooms into living spaces, into places you can't wait to come home to. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, reacting to the Titans' firing of Brian Callahan. To update our recent conversation about the Titans' fascinations with Mikes, Mike Herndon of PaulKaharski.com notes that Titans head coaches named Mike have a record of 95-73. Titans head coach is not named Mike, 7-39.
Go get you a Mike.
Go get you a Mike.
I want to be like Mike.
Be like Mike.
Mike McCarthy. Mike McDaniel's probably going to get fired.
Yeah. I don't want him.
Mike Kafka.
He's too soft, man. He's too soft to this team, for this team. They don't need that. They just had Mr. Nice Guy.
I saw somebody, I can't remember who it was, who was discussing Mike McDaniel and saying, if you want to be a good coach, only good coaches can wear capris. He likes to wear the joggers pulled up.
Uh-huh.
Only good coaches can wear capris. Win games before you wear capris. I've got no problems with the capris. But I do want to mention something interesting. And Derek, I want your thoughts on this.
Yes.
With the firing of Brian Callahan, the past four quarterbacks selected number one overall, and six of the past eight have had their head coaches fired during their rookie seasons. Mm-hmm. So Cam Ward,
yes.
Caleb Williams with Matt Eberflus, Bryce Young with Frank Reich, Trevor Lawrence with Urban Meyer. Those are the past four. The two out of the six of the eight, the two that didn't have their head coaches fired in their rookie seasons, Kyler Murray, who was with Cliff Kingsbury,
yes.
and Joe Burrow with Zach Taylor. So Jared Goff had Jeff Fisher fired. Baker Mayfield, who was his coach? Freddie Kitchens or Hugh Jackson? I can't remember which
one. I think
it's
Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, either way, it was bad.
Yeah, both of them were bad.
Right. So what do you make of that? The fact that the past four quarterbacks selected number one overall and six of the past eight have had their head coaches fired during their rookie season.
That means that
Is that an organizational thing or is that a coaching thing?
I think that's a coaching thing because you got to listen. I don't know every like Urban Meyer.
He was a disaster.
Was he there the year before?
No, that was his first season. He was fired in the midst of his first season
some guys
with the Jags.
Typically, you know.
And Frank Reich as well. Frank Reich was hired, was fired in the midst of his first season with the Panthers.
Usually you see it, you know, a guy's coming off a bad season. You get that first pick in the draft, and it doesn't work. They're firing you very quickly. You know, now what happened, you know, in those situations, you know, it's guys that came in with the quarterback, and they were like, we're not taking this any further. We're just going to fire you right now because we don't have time to sit and wait for you to develop this quarterback and possibly damage him in the process. So this is what I think, you know, coaches, now head coaches, have to be mindful of. It's good to have the number one pick at times. You know, to have that number one pick, especially if that quarterback is coming out that everybody covets. If you have a number one pick, it's not the number one pick overall. It isn't so bleak because they figure you just get that guy and you're ready to go. But you also have to understand they're not going to give you long to develop them. They're just not. Especially if you are a guy that haven't had a lot of experience at coaching. They're not going to let organizations are not, especially if they have dealt with misery for years. They're not going to let you continue. They're not going to let you mess up that quarterback. The Titans have been dealing with some bad seasons prior to Callahan coming in. And then Callahan has a bad season. They're not going to let you continue. They're not going to let you, one, to continue to have this organization fall even further. But most importantly, they ain't going to let you damage this quarterback, this rookie quarterback. So you know what? We got to get you out of here. No longer is – it's the wait and see game with head coaches, with young quarterback. It's, can you do it? Let me see you can do it. I'm not waiting, you know, 2-3 years for you to get the job done. No, you can't get, if you don't show me you can get the job done this year and into next year, then I don't need you to damage my quarterback no more than what he probably is. So that's the game. Before it was, we're going to give you a few years to kind of fix this thing and, you know, hopefully as we build the team, you know, the roster get better, the quarterback will benefit from it, and the head coach will benefit from it. And that's what I thought the Titans were doing. But once again, the part about patience. And listen, I get them firing. Brian, you show patience. But what is it going to be like if the other coach starts off not so good? You know, so you're going to be in this perpetual sort of hiring, rehiring, hiring, rehiring. And that's what the fan base is scared of. That right there, because you hadn't shown him anything other than that.
By the way, just to confirm, it was Hugh Jackson
Hugh.
With Baker Mayfield. Greg Williams, the interim coach for the Browns that season. Then the Browns fired Freddie Kitchens. That didn't go well either. So 6 of the past 8 quarterbacks drafted number 1 overall, including each of the past 4, have had their head coaches fired during their rookie seasons. Let's get to your reaction, 615-737-1025. Let's go to Jason on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jason, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
And I don't think the Titans will have a chance at Mike McCarthy just because he's a fringe Hall of Fame coach, and he could trash his whole Hall of Fame credentials by going to Tennessee. But 3 coaches I'll give you that I think they can get, and the third one is who I would hire. The first is Arthur Smith, the second is Gary Kubiak, and the third would be Brian Flores. He'll come in and build the defense, and he'll take it and he'll get them going in the right direction. I think that would be the smartest hire.
Thank you for the call, Jason. By the way, Megan on our text line, Derek, said, if Brian Flores changes his name to Mike, can we bring him in, please?
Mike Flores.
It says here,
already,
it says here your name is actually Mike. It's been Mike this whole time.
You're hired.
So he mentioned Brian Flores. Mm-hmm. He mentioned Kubiak.
Yes.
And I can't remember the third one.
Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith. Thank you, of course. Arthur Smith is interesting because he has history in this organization. Mm-hmm. He knows how it works. He's the offensive coordinator with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are doing well. Mm-hmm. His his time in Atlanta as the head coach did not go well, but he also didn't have a quarterback. Marcus Mariota started games for him at quarterback in Atlanta. Desmond Ridder started a lot of games at quarterback for him in Atlanta. Taylor Heinicke, the pride of Old Dominion University, but also not very good, started games for Arthur Smith in Atlanta. So I know that Arthur Smith is going to be a popular name.
I don't know with Arthur. How was that? See, and we will never know, but how was that locker room at Atlanta when he was the head coach? Yes, I know that they were going through the sort of quarterback carousel, but did he maintain that locker room? Were they losing because he didn't have a quarterback, or was they losing because he didn't know how to coach the locker room? That's what I don't know. Listen, his time here was great. He knows how to call plays because you see what he's doing in Pittsburgh. So he understands how to call plays. But can he, again, is he better suited to just be a play caller? That's the thing. Because he got the opportunity to be a play caller and a head coach, and it didn't work out. But he goes where he can just be a play caller, and that seems to be working out. So that tells me, no, I don't want him as a head coach. As much as, or maybe I don't want my job to be his next job. Let's just say that he needs to prove it a little bit more. I can't just go by what he did in Atlanta as a head coach slash offensive coordinator. I understand he's a good offensive coordinator, but I need to he need to go somewhere else possibly.
Now, did the texter say Gary Kubiak, who's an old coach?
Yeah, he's an old soul.
Or is he talking about his son Clint, who is the offensive coordinator with the Seattle Seahawks? I didn't hear if he said Gary or Clint.
I'm assuming he said Cleeming Clint.
Yes. There is a Kubiak still coaching. It's not Gary Kubiak. It's Clint Kubiak. So we'll put that one on the list as well. Let's go to James from Clarksville on our phone line. James, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say, you guys, I don't think you've given Brian Callahan the credit he deserves. He didn't ruin one quarterback. He ruined two.
I see what you did there.
He's not ruined yet, man.
Thank you, James.
he's not ruined yet.
But look,
James, he's not ruined yet. But I get what you're saying. I do.
No, I mean, look, Cam Ward, you had a passionate defense of Cam Ward early in the program. We'll get back into Cam Ward tomorrow because whoever the Titans hire as coach is going to have to find a way to get the most out of Cam Ward. Hell, Mike McCoy is going to have to find a way to get the most out of Cam Ward. But you know, yesterday was rough for Cam Ward. I know his completion percentage was solid, 26 of 38 for 222 yards. He threw an interception. He lost two fumbles. He took six sacks. I've seen glimpses of what Cam Ward can be, but it's been hard to watch. As I said, and I've said this before, you drive around Nashville, Titans fans, you see plenty of signs, plenty of billboards for personal injury attorneys. Mm-hmm. You should call and attempt to get compensated for pain and suffering for having to watch this disastrous football team. I truly mean that. And we will get back into Cam Ward because a lot of this obviously, the organization hinges, the path, the trajectory of this organization hinges on Cam Ward. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction to the Titans firing Brian Callahan. Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi will address reporters at 7:30 p.m. We'll obviously talk about that tomorrow since we're not going to be on the air at 7:30 p.m. But we are on the air until 6 o'clock. So call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Kane is in the building.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. The Commodore Hour coming up at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow we will be back on at our regularly scheduled time of 3 o'clock, although we will be on from only 3 to 5 as the Predators have yet another road game in Ontario They take on the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow, pregame at 5, puck drop at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. Predators GM Barry Trotz will join us 1 hour earlier than normal. He'll join us at 4 o'clock tomorrow instead of the usual 5 o'clock. Derek, it has not been a good few days for coaches with Nashville ties. Not only was Brian Callahan fired today, James Franklin was fired from Penn State over the weekend, as was Trent Dilfer, fired by UAB. So if you are a coach with some tie to Nashville, maybe silence your phone.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been a good few days for coaches with Nashville connections.
Yeah, so if your team hasn't been doing well, don't block everybody that can fire you. Block them on your phone so they can't get through.
But James Franklin, he's getting a big old payout. I believe
$50 million, is it?
Close to it. I believe it is the second largest buyout in college football history behind Jimbo Fisher.
But he has to look for another job. I think that's what his buyout specifies, that he has to go look for a job. Now, what he does during that time, you know, or what he does at the interview.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you think James Franklin ends up back in the SEC?
Wow. Yeah, because that's where the money is. That's where the money is. He either goes back to the SEC or, you know, there's rumors Matt Rhule may leave Nebraska to go. Maybe they swap jobs. But I don't know if Nebraska is James Franklin ready. I'm not sure if Nebraska is James Franklin ready.
What about Michigan?
I don't think Vanderbilt was really James Franklin ready.
How about Michigan, David asks.
Michigan? I don't know if he's Michigan, because he's a big, like, he's one of those guys that I think you can get real tired of very quickly. You can get tired of very quickly. And
took Penn State more than 10 years.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but there was always this.
Couldn't win a big game to save his life.
There was always this, and I don't think they really wanted to hire, and things got better, obviously. But he's one of those guys that he has to grow on you. He has to grow on you, I think. Seemed like a great guy, but I know he's not. If he does take a coaching job, another coaching job within the next year or two, because he doesn't really necessarily has to, obviously.
Derek, if somebody was paying me $49 million, you'd never see me again.
I know, but
ever.
I'm sure he wish he could do that, but I guess his contract specified that he can't, like, not look for a job. Now he can.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but I mean, the way the college landscape is, if you're a coach with his sort of resume, I know he doesn't have any championships on his resume, but, you know, he's been in the playoffs and, you know, he's been in the Big Ten championship game. Guys like him, they're not going to leave to go to a lower conference.
No. He's not taking the step down.
He's either staying in the Big Ten or he's going to the SEC.
It will be a lateral move,
exactly,
at the absolute least. By the way, multiple texters. No, James Franklin cannot coach the Tennessee Titans.
No, I don't want no. Uh-uh.
One texter said the Titans wouldn't be crazy enough to hire James Franklin, would they?
I hope not. But you never know.
Matt says, unless Borgonzi is naming Brinker interim or vice versa, why both tonight? I'm not sure I understand the question, but Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi are both addressing reporters tonight. Again, at 7:30. Some of us have lives to put to bed, man.
The way they do things.
But why are they doing it together? Because they've always done it together.
Yeah, but my thing is, like, these, like, they always find a way of doing things that make the fan base think they're incompetent. And it's their fault. And I'm not saying they're incompetent, but they're doing things, and the fans call our station or text us and tell us how incompetent this team is. And as much as I, you know, try to a certain extent to defend, you know, the organization, it's like, this is what you're showing your fan base. Instead of having a news conference early enough so your fans ain't into the game or half of them sleep or doing their – you want to have a press conference while everybody's doing everything else. Yeah, we'll be able to hear it the next day. I get that. But aren't the fan base, you know, don't you want the heartbeat of the fan base? So you want to do it at 7:30.
I mean, it took them 4 hours between announcing that Brian Callahan had been fired and announcing that Mike McCoy was taking over. It took 4 hours.
And what about your loyal fans in Alabama, in Enterprise, Alabama? I don't know if they're on the same time we are.
I don't.
Maybe they're an hour ahead on Eastern time.
I think they're Central time.
Well, people.
It is Central time.
Central time. Yes. Well, what if they getting home with their family? They want to eat dinner at 7:30. They ain't listening. They turn the radio off, TV off. Little Mike put down a tablet. Dinner time. I'm not supposed to tell my wife, hey, we got to hold up dinner time to go listen to Borgardi and Brinker. Come on. See, stuff like that. Why you couldn't have a press conference where everybody either I'm in my car and I can listen to it, or I can flick on the app or something and listen. Why wait to 7:30, 8:30 Eastern?
About James Franklin.
Man.
Phil says, I'm taking that $49 million, going to the team I dislike the most, who needs a coach, running them into the ground for a year, and then enjoying my yacht. One texter says, I would look for a job and botch every interview on purpose. Yes, as Lenny
mentioned. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
As Lenny mentions, they're making the announcement during Monday Night Football. This is a classic news dump.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it's such a strange time to have a news conference. It's a big story, obviously, when the NFL team fires its head coach. It's a big story. But I can't recall covering many 7:30 p.m. news conferences in my day. But at the same time, they would be criticized as well had they not held a news conference today and waited until tomorrow. So damned if you do, damned if you don't. Nate says the organization is weak as hell with this news conference at 7:30. I mean, I can't say I disagree. I mean, as I just said, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But this news conference should have been held an hour after the announcement was made. I would love to know, and we'll probably learn this in roughly 2 hours, why it took so damn long for them to announce an interim head coach. Maybe that's why. Who knows? Maybe multiple people were approached, as my voice cracks, multiple people were approached, and they're like, nah, I'm not interested. And Mike McCoy's like, okay, fine, I'll do it 4 hours later. Who knows? But I'm sure we'll find out more about that.
I mean, to me, I think it was giving them some room because the decision, I'm sure it was made hours and hours before it was leaked. I'm saying when they decided that we're going to do it. Now, when they told Brian Callahan, that's a different story. So I know they didn't just think of it till Brian Callahan 2 seconds later or 2 minutes later or 5 minutes later or an hour later. I'm sure they had been thinking about it. And while you were thinking about it and contemplating, didn't you have a plan in place to who you were going to put there? So when we do execute this this move, we can have a news conference. We can name the coach, have a news conference. And we all can get together our talking points so we all are on the same page. But it seemed like y'all didn't do that. It seemed like y'all still trying to get everybody on the same page. What you need to say, how you need to say it, defer to me, I defer to you, we're on the same page. Is McCoy going to be there? Did they say Mike McCoy would be there?
No. I assume McCoy will address reporters tomorrow.
So McCoy is going to
which he hasn't done since joining the organization, by the way.
Exactly. So now he has to come up with these talking points that are identical to Brinkert and Borgonzi. Maybe that they're smart. Here's why they're smart. I'm going to tell you why they're smart. Because I do the interview today. We ain't going to put Mike in front of the camera until tomorrow when he's scheduled to be. But he can hear everything that we said because we already went over it. Now he knows exactly what we're talking about. We're all on the same page here. So now it's not a conversation with all of us at the table where I may be caught off guard with an answer and I don't know how to, with a question I don't know how to answer. I don't know whether to defer to these guys or not. Now I've listened to their conference, their press conference. We've talked. I understand what the mission is. I know what the talking points are. I know what questions y'all going to ask. Y'all ain't going to ask nothing too much different than what y'all asked Brigham and Borghazi other than, did you know this was coming? Did you have a feeling that this was coming? You know, that's outside of what they – I mean, so they did a smart thing. That was smart by them.
One texter says, Adam sounds like the teenager who works at Krusty Burger. My voice cracks once, and I'm like, squeaky voice teen to you? How dare you? Says the 36-year-old whose voice cracked on the radio. Joel from Woodbury says, appreciate UC Soros for 30 seconds. I will.
Yes,
the Predators won 4-1 today. UC Soros had another strong outing, made 31 saves on 32 shots. So far this season for UC Soros, a 2-0-1 record with a 1.64 goals against average and 9.47 save percentage. He's made 89 saves on 94 shots. So there you go, Joel. And the Predators will be back in action tomorrow. Pregame at 5, puck drop at 6 against the Toronto Maple Leafs in Toronto. But man, oh man, did we have a lot to discuss today. Brian Callahan fired by the Tennessee Titans after 4 wins in 23 tries. We will hear from Chad Brinker and Mike Borghazi at 7:30. We will be listening, of course, and we will break it all down with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Again, a shortened show for us tomorrow, 3 to 5 instead of the usual 3 to 6 because of Predators pregame, but we will be live at 3 o'clock. Barry Trotz will join us at 4 o'clock. Hopefully, Willie Donick will join us as well. Willie unable to join us today as the Predators are traveling. I'm quite interested to hear what Willie has to
Me
say.
Me too. Adam, do you think they had their press conference at 7:30 because they didn't want us to talk about them?
Who's to say?
That's what I'm going to go with.
I'm going to say it.
I'm going to go with it. Even though I know that's 100% not the case, but I'm going to think that.
We will go with that.
Yes.
But that'll do it for us today. Again, we will be back at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Mike Borghazi, Chad Brinker, if you have the time, speaking at 7:30. If you can't listen to it, we will, and we will break it down for you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Many more layers to this story. We will get back into it at 3 o'clock.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team love you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us. Don't be like the Titans. And they forgot about Brian Callahan. Don't forget about us because we will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Peace.